just about. And so thanks for watching us on live stream and all those kind of things. All right, let's get going because lunch is waiting on somebody probably. We started last Sunday a series on the power of praise. Last Sunday we talked about Paul and Silas singing praises to God at midnight in the prison cell in Philippi. And as they chose to praise God, even in the midst of their trouble, their feet were in stocks, their hands were chained, they were in pain and beaten and bleeding. An earthquake to shake the foundation of the prison. The doors flew open, the chains came off, not just off of Paul and Silas, but off of all the prisoners. We said then that something powerful happens when God's people praise the Lord, especially when things aren't going as we want or expect. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That we just praise Him in spite of what's going on, and God's blessing and favor is there. I told you last week that we would look a little deeper into what the Bible teaches concerning praise. And what is praise all about? Well, you say, well, I don't know much about praising the Lord. Well, you know something about praise because it's part of your everyday life, whether you realize it or not. If you're a parent, you praise your children for doing the right thing, for doing well in school. You praise your employees. If you're a boss, say you did well on that and you know, good salesmanship or whatever. You praise your friends for helping you out, for helping you with the retreat or whatever's going on. We thank and praise others. We praise your teammate for making that play, for sinking that basket. You praise your spouse for getting that project done, whatever it is. And so when we praise someone, we commend them. We applaud them. In other words, we extol them. We honor them. We praise them directly, or we commend them in their efforts to someone else. And so our praise to the Lord can be in that same fashion. We praise Him directly for who He is and for what He's done. God, thank You for saving me and for blessing me and for giving me the gifts that You've given to me. So we praise Him directly. Or we can declare His greatness just in the general kind of sense. We can say to others, God is so great, isn't He? And He's been so kind and so gracious. And we're just speaking of who God is. Or we can praise Him for what He's done for others. Thank You for healing my friend. Or thank You for providing for someone else. And so all of that, praise is an expression of gratitude, of thankfulness, of approval. It's an expression of admiration, of awe and reverence. It's declaring with gratitude and joy what God has done. It's telling Him with thankfulness how we appreciate all that He's done. It's lifting Him up with our words and with our hearts and our lives. Simply put, praise is an expression of the attitude of our heart. Praise is an expression of the attitude of our heart. Praise is our response to who God is and to what He's done. Praise is something we do, and praise is something that we say with our mouths, but it's more than that. Praise is not just a time in the service when we stand up and sing songs. That may involve praise, but that's not all there is to it. Our whole lives are to be lived as an offering of praise to God. So we're to order our behavior, our actions, and our words, our communication, the way we treat others. All of that is to be ordered so that God constantly and continuously receives glory and honor and praise from our life and our choices and our words. So here's the deal. We see people that they're really good at praise and worship. They're really good at singing. They're really good at, you know, musical expression. They're standing in church and they're praising God and all that. But then by the time they get home or when they get to the restaurant after church, then they're rude and gossiping and they're chewing up people and talking bad about people and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not praise, all right? So praise is supposed to be more than just how well you can sing a praise song at church. It's about how you live your life and how you treat other people in the midst of that. It's to be an expression of our life. Praise is filled with honesty, integrity, thanksgiving, gratitude, passion, emotion, enthusiasm, awe, and wonder for who God is and for what He's done. Praise is all of that put together. Praise can be personal and private. Praise can be corporate, like it is this morning as we praise the Lord. But then each one of you were speaking to the Lord in praise, hopefully. It's an outward expression and an inward attitude. Praise is offered because we want to praise Him for what He's done. Praise is offered because He's worthy of all of our praise. I taught last year on prayer on Wednesday nights, shared from a book by a pastor named Peter Lord. He said this about praise. He said, praise is my response to the person, presence, position, power, greatness, majesty, and the love of God. Praise is our response to who God is and what He's done to His person, presence, position, power, greatness, majesty, and His love. Praise is always the correct response to who God is and to His presence in our life and to all those things we've just mentioned. Let me read from Psalm 145 real quick. It's described actually as a Psalm of David and a Psalm of praise. But listen to these words as David just lifts his voice and his heart to the Lord in praise. He says, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I'll praise your name forever. Every day I'll praise you, and I'll extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will praise your works to another. They'll tell of your mighty acts. They'll speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I'll meditate on your wonderful works. They'll tell of the power of your awesome works. I'll proclaim your great deeds. We'll celebrate your abundant goodness. We'll joyfully sing of your righteousness." He says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He's made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They'll tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all may know of your mighty acts and the splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all that He's made. He upholds those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down." And on and on. "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, loving toward all He's made. He's near to those who call on Him. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry. He watches over all that love Him." He says, "Let every creature praise His holy name forever and forever." You read that and you hear as David describes all the glory of God and the things God's done. And David says, you can't help but respond somehow to a God that's done these incredible things. Let me ask you, have you ever seen something or heard something so wonderful that it demanded a response from you? Something had to be, it may have left you speechless, but somehow you were going to respond to it. Maybe it's a gasp, or maybe it made you cry, or you applauded, or you shouted. Maybe, you know, like a last second comeback by the Rams tonight, or something that caused you to jump to your feet. Or, you know, or to fall to your knees like the refs miss a blown pass interference call or whatever. Oh, man. So you respond somehow or another. Well, in that positive kind of sense, that's what praise as a response to God is all about. I remember the first time I saw the Grand Canyon. I was by myself driving to California, and I thought, well, I'm going to go see that. I've never seen it. And drove up there, and I get out of the car, and because, again, I'm by myself, and you can't see anything from where I was anyway. And there's a whole lot of, people out there taking pictures or whatever, but I'm by myself. And I walk up there to the edge, to the rim, and then it's like, oh my goodness. And I got nobody to go, can you believe that? And there are a lot of Japanese people with cameras. They're taking pictures and stuff, and I'm there by myself like, man. Look at that, you know, and there's nothing. There's nobody to respond to whatsoever. And I remember thinking, I got to get somebody out here that I can go, would you get out? Would you look at that? That's insane. Now, one of the thoughts that occurred to me, and this has, there will only be like maybe two people here that would go, I know what you're talking about. But I remember being at a function at a general council. And the Brooklyn Tabernacle, not the choir, but the Brooklyn Tabernacle singers. So it was a smaller group. You got to be a musical geek to appreciate this. And there was a lady, she actually married an ORU grad, and their pastor's up in, I think, New York somewhere. But a lady named Damaris Carbaugh. And at that time, she was kind of the voice. If you listen to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir back in the day, she was the one that was singing, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Oh, the God. She was singing that. And thank you for a round of applause. And she was singing, anyway. And so we go to this function or whatever. It seemed like we're sitting at tables, if I remember. And the singers are singing, and Damaris is up there, and she starts to sing this. And my response, it was breathtaking. And I thought, how can I respond to this? I don't know whether to throw money. I didn't know if I ought to stand up on the table and cheer. I mean, it felt like to just sit there. I was sinning somehow or another. I needed to just go, woo, woo, woo. I was beside myself. It was just the most glorious thing I'd ever heard. I didn't know what to do. That's what I want us to do. That's kind of where I want us to get to when we're talking about praise. That we're just, let's put it this way, we're undone by who God is and by how much He loved us. That He takes our breath away. It's a gasp that acknowledges the incredible character and nature and beauty of God. It's the shout that comes when we realize that our sins have been forgiven and I don't have to die and go to hell because Jesus saved me and gave me life. It's that overwhelming response to Him. It's praise. It's the right response to God. It's the God whom David said His greatness no one can fathom. And we just get a glimpse of it and then we just can't help it. We have to praise Him. You look at the adjectives that David uses. He doesn't just say, well, I thought about your acts. He says, mighty acts, glorious splendor, wonderful works, awesome works, great deeds, abundant goodness. David says, oh, I found out about your character. You're gracious and compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're full of loving kindness. He's taken that from Exodus 34, where God revealed His name and His nature to Moses. And He says, and I'll keep covenant and show my mercy to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and serve Him. And we hear that and our mouth flies open and we drop to our knees, and there has to be a response to this. It's overwhelming to know this God. I mean, what else can you do but offer praise to a God who loves us like this? No wonder David says, let every creature praise His holy name forever and forever. If you get to know God, you can't help but respond to Him in praise and in adoration. Well, why do we praise Him? The bottom line is we're commanded to do so in the Word of God. You can look at Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet, the harp, and the lyre. That's talking about strings, guitars, and flutes, and the clash of cymbals and resounding cymbals. And I hate to read it, but it does say praise Him with the tambourine. Help us, Lord. Because I banned the tambourine. Unless Sondra Crouch comes from California to play, all right? But anyway, and so praise Him with the tambourine and with dancing. He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that's breathing on this planet is supposed to offer praise to the Lord. It's required of every living creature. But have you wondered why? Why are we supposed to praise? Why does the Bible say over and over to praise the Lord? Does God need our praise? I mean, here's the deal. The truth is, God instructed us to praise Him not because He needed to be built up, like He was having a bad day. So if He thought enough of us said, oh God, we really think you're swell, He'd say, well, I'm feeling better about myself. He doesn't need anybody to tell Him how good He is. He's good in Himself. But He did that because we need the benefit that comes from praising Him. It changes us and our perspective and our life when we praise Him. So let me quickly share with you some benefits of praise. Why do we praise Him? First of all, praise is becoming. Let me explain what I mean. Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting, the New International Version says, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Well, King James Version translates that last phrase like this. Praise the Lord, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Comely. We don't use that word anymore. It is kind of an old, archaic kind of word. It sounds Old English, doesn't it? So you would say, here, I'll give you a hint here for the teenagers. You would say to a young lady, she's a comely lass. All right? My, she's a comely lass. What's that mean? I mean, she's beautiful. She's attractive, all right? So it's where we get the word becoming. Oh, that's becoming. That's very becoming of you. So, you know, like, what do you think about this outfit? No, it's very becoming. It compliments you. It makes you more attractive. And so it looks good on you. Does that make me look... Don't ever ask that question. Does that dress make me look... Well, no. It makes you look swell. It's very... It's comely. Well, praise in our life has that effect on us. Everybody's known somebody that was just, regardless of how they looked on the outside, they may have looked like, you know, whatever, handsome and beautiful, whatever, but they're just bitter on the inside. And everything's negative and angry and unforgiving and nothing, they never praise anybody. It's all about themselves, all that kind of thing. There was nothing of praise in their life and nothing becoming, nothing comely, nothing attractive about them either. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his Reflections on the Psalms. He said, "The most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praised least." So don't look around. Like, I think you may be a malcontent. I mean, there's another word we don't use. Misfits, what was it? Cranks, misfits, and malcontents. But here's the deal. Even if a person is physically attractive, the negativism makes them unattractive. You don't really want to be around them. It just brings you down so much. But praise brings about a change in your attitude, and it produces a change in your perspective. You want to be around people that are praising you and are praising what's going on, and they're speaking positively. It results in a different outlook on life. Constantly hearing and feeding on criticism and negativism makes you kind of ugly inside and outside. But filling your heart with the goodness of God and praising Him and talking about Him, it makes your spirit beautiful. And there's something about a person with a beautiful spirit, even if you automatically kind of think, you know, that's not the most attractive person, but you get to know them and their spirit is so beautiful and they're so full of love and joy and they're speaking that way, and suddenly, man, they begin to look like they're beautiful. Praising the Lord is becoming. It'll change your life and the way you look. Another benefit of praise is that it puts things in proper perspective. It has a way of putting life's challenges and life's circumstances into a proper perspective. So here's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 42. "My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long," they're taunting him, "where's your God? Where's your God? These things I remember, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and offering praise," thanksgiving. And then he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise Him for the help of His presence." Praise begins to change our perspective on where we are. We just feel hopeless and in despair, and then we remember. And praise begins to take it. I look back in a Bible I used to carry and preach from, a New American Standard Bible, to find the date. January the 4th, 1982, I'd written it. I think I wrote 12:10 a.m. because it was in the night. And I wrote it down because I read that scripture on January the 4th, 1982, when I was drowning in depression and despair. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. My tears had been my food day and night, and wondering where God was, crying and wondering how I was ever going to make it out of the pit and out of the darkness and the depression that I was in. "Why are you in despair?" And I thought, well, I can give you the reasons, and none of them really make sense. I'm just down here in this hole. But there was reason for hope, and praise was the way through that and the way out of that. Praise would begin to put things in proper perspective. My soul was in despair, but praise reminded me not just of the past, but of a future that I was going to once again lead people in praise and in adoration to the Lord. I began to praise Him every day. I'd say, "Lord, I thank You that today I'm one day closer to the end of this nightmare that I'm living in. I praise You that I'm one day closer to the end of this dark tunnel that I'm walking through." And praise lifted my eyes from the despair to the majesty and the power of the eternal God who had promised to never leave me and never forsake me. And as I offered praise to the Lord, it was a continual reassurance that He was with me. Praise Him and He'll lift your head. Praise Him and He lifts your eyes off of the challenges and off the giants and off the depression. Praise Him and He begins to alter your perspective. It's been 37 years and I'm still praising Him in spite of everything else. Some of you've never gone through this kind of stuff, and God bless you, and I pray you never do. And some of you, I know, because I spoke to some of you after the first service this morning, that you said, "Thanks for sharing it, because that's where I am. That's how I live, but I'm praising Him, believing that He's going to take me through this and there are better things ahead, and we're going to yet praise Him for His help, because He is with us. Even when we're going through the darkness, we can praise Him," and it begins to change our perspective on life. praise Him, and it'll renew and refresh your mind. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, with praise, and offering expressions of gratitude to God. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Rejoice in Him. Offer praise to Him in everything. Doesn't matter what's going on. In everything we can praise Him. Don't be anxious, but in prayer, with thanksgiving, with let the offering of praise be given to the Lord. Present it to Him, and God's peace is going to guard your heart and mind so you won't be overwhelmed by the trouble and you won't be overwhelmed by the fear or depression or despair. Fear and anxiety gives way to the peace of God, and it doesn't even make any sense. It passes understanding. The circumstances may still be the same. You still got creditors knocking at the door, and you still got all the stuff that, you know, the washing machine went out and the water came out of your yard or whatever and your battery died. I heard about that. Anyway, all this stuff starts happening to you and you're thinking, where's God in all this? But I'll yet praise You. I'm going to give You thanks. And what happens? The peace of God begins to surround us and protect us so that we're not just pulling our hair out. Did circumstances change? No, probably not, but our perspective about it changed. I sat there first service this morning praying and worship from the Lord. Thanks, Bryce, for singing that first song. Lord, You are good. And I love that. I know it's old. I know it goes clear back to 2000 or something. Lord, have mercy. You know, for some of us, like 1973 was like 25 years ago. So 2000, that was yesterday. But anyway, thanks for singing that for us old people. And I love that song. You are good. You are good. And Your mercy endures forever. By the time we finished that and we sang Andre's song, Take Me Back, come on. I thought, I feel better now. I feel better now. I still got a whole, you know, bucket load of stuff that I got to deal with and stuff that hadn't changed. My circumstances didn't change, not one iota, but I felt better because I've been in the presence of God, and the peace of God was going to refresh and renew my mind. Another benefit of praise. Praise brings peace. It's a little different. Look at the rest of the passage in Philippians. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. That earlier passage, verse 7, said the peace of God will be with you. Now verse 9 says, and the God of peace will be with you. Fill your mind with what's praiseworthy. We already know God and His mighty works and His promises and His faithfulness and His splendor. His character is praiseworthy. But then you look at Paul's list of things to think about. Keep your mind on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, all that. And then consider that God is all of those things. He is true and He is noble and He is right and pure and lovely and admirable. He is excellent. He is worthy of praise. And then you think, well, so what I need to do is put my mind on Him. I need to think about Him. I need to praise Him. I need to spend time with Him. I need to talk to Him. I need to worship Him. I need to fill my heart and my mind with praise for the Lord. And the God of peace will be with me. His peace will guard my heart and mind. But it's not just that. I'm not just tuning into the right channel where I can experience the peace. But it's like the curtain gets pulled back. When I'm praising Him, the God of peace is with me. He reveals Himself to me. Somehow or another, when I begin to praise Him, He gets bigger. He gets grander. He gets larger. He's bigger than my mountains. He's bigger than the challenges before me. He's bigger than the devils that want to defeat us. He's bigger than all that because we praise Him and the curtain comes back and we see the God of peace who is with us even in the midst of all this. I'm just about done. And finally, another benefit is that God is enthroned upon our praise. I mentioned this at the close of the service last Sunday as we were praying around the altar. In a psalm that we recognize because Jesus quoted from it from the cross, David declared, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And he says, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. It's like, boy, deliverance is a long way away. Oh my God, I cry by day, but Thou dost not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. Yet Thou art holy, O Thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And I want you to see and hear the raw truth and integrity of the Scripture. David feels as though God has forsaken him. He hasn't had an answer to his prayers. He's awake half the night, tossing and turning and troubled. And yet in the face of his trouble, David offers praise and declares, "Yet I declare that you're holy. You are holy. You are good. Yet I'll praise you in spite of it. Things haven't changed. The answer still hasn't come, but I'm still going to praise you. In spite of the delays, I'm going to praise you because I know who you are. You're the one who is enthroned upon the praises of Israel." And the King James translation, King James Version says, "He inhabits the praises of Israel." He inhabits our praise. He is present when we praise Him. Right? He's in our midst when we praise Him. It is there in the praise that we see Him. I said it a minute ago, that then the God of peace will keep us. The curtain is pulled back and we see Him. He's revealed to us and made plain to us. David said in Psalm 27, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And look what he says, "To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And then he goes on in that chapter to say that I'm going to be there to sacrifice with shouts of joy and I'll sing and make music to the Lord. It's there in the praise that we behold the beauty of the Lord. It's why our heart wants to praise Him. When we just get a glimpse of Him, we just want to praise Him. He's revealed to us in our praise. But hear what else I'm saying about Him being enthroned on our praise. That I believe that when we praise Him, we're introducing and establishing His throne, meaning His lordship, His authority into our circumstance. He's not only inhabiting our praise, He's enthroned in our circumstances, in those challenges. And where His throne is, that's where He rules and reigns. That's where His kingdom is established. That's sovereign territory. It belongs to the kingdom of God. That's where His will is performed and carried out. I believe when we praise Him, God's power and presence and authority is released into our situation. So we go into some foreign circumstance or whatever and we're fighting a challenge, and the old days you planted a flag and said, "I hereby claim this territory for the King of Spain," or whoever it was, and we plant that flag. Or if you're Baker Mayfield, we claim it for the state of Oklahoma in the center of Ohio. Whatever it is, we're claiming territory and we're establishing a throne. If you go to an embassy somewhere, if you're in a foreign country and you go to the American embassy, that's sovereign ground. The authorities and the rules and the values of America are practiced there because that's American territory, even though it's on foreign soil. What I'm telling you is that praise establishes His kingdom. It establishes His throne there. It establishes territory in the midst of the devil's territory. We begin to praise Him when all hell's breaking loose and we establish a little piece of God's kingdom there. Lord, here's your throne. Here's your rulership. Come, let your kingdom be done here on earth and this little piece of ground the way it's done in heaven. And we begin to rejoice and lift Him up, and the devil has to move back out of the way because he doesn't want to be there in the middle of a praise gathering. And we begin to rejoice in Him and who He is and His plans and His purpose for us, and power is released and victory comes to us when we begin to praise Him in the midst of all that. David said, "It's good to give praise to the Lord and to make music to your name." It's a good thing to praise Him. It's becoming. It'll change your perspective. It'll renew and refresh your mind. It'll bring peace to you. It'll keep you in peace. It'll change your circumstances because He's enthroned upon your praise. His kingdom will be established there. It'll pull back the curtain and you can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And the last thing I'm going to tell you, if you wonder, if you want to know why you ought to fill your heart and lift your voice to God in praise. Listen, praise is what you were created for. You're looking for a reason and purpose for existing? You were created to praise Him. God speaks of us as the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise, He says in Isaiah 43. And Peter said this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare." Why? Why are we a chosen people? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a holy nation? Why do we belong to God? "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and brought you into His wonderful light." Praise is what you were made for. I've just been trying to find my purpose in life. I'm telling you what it is. Let Jesus take you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and then find ways to give expression for the rest of your life to Jesus, to give honor and glory to Him, to praise Him because He's the King and the Lord and the God of peace. You look for a purpose? Be a praiser. Be a worshiper. Looking for meaning to your life? Start praising Him because of what He's done for you. And I'm telling you, as we begin to discover who He is, the fullness of who you are as a human being is found when you step beyond all the chains and the ways we've limited ourselves and we just break free and begin to praise God. I'll say it again. Something begins to happen. A change begins to come when God's people offer Him praise. He's revealed to us in our praise. And when we do, we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And when we gaze upon His beauty, we just got to find some way to do something about it, comment about it. And the more we comment about it, the more praise is offered to Him. And the more of His presence He reveals to us. And the more He reveals to us, the more we love Him and want to serve Him and want to tell somebody about what He's done. And the more we do that, the more we have reason to want to praise Him and honor Him. And the more we do that, He says, here, you've never seen this aspect of my love. And He shows us that. And then we say, I've got to find somebody to tell about what God's done for me. And we tell His praise. And oh, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's kind of the song that'll never end. Let's stand. Put that in your head now and we'll want to sing that for worship. Stand this morning. They're going to come back. We're going to sing. But in your best way, would you just begin to praise Him and thank Him this morning. Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for salvation. I thank You for freedom. I thank You that You've changed our lives. I thank You for the splendor and grandeur of Your mercy and grace. I thank You, Lord, that You brought me out of a kingdom of darkness into Your wonderful light. That I had no right, Lord, but You chose me. You chose me. Peter says, once we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. And He's called us and chosen us so that we can offer praises to Him. Oh, when we think about You, Lord, and what You've done for us, then it calls for a response from us. Somehow, Lord, we have to lift up Your name. Somehow, we have to magnify You. Somehow, Lord, we've got to lift up the glory of God. Somehow, we've got to do that. Oh, let's sing this song together. When I think about the Lord.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up to turn me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the earth. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, He'll turn around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy, of all the glory and all the honor.
Giants running at you with spears. You got a devil trying to fight against you. You got a mountain in your path. It's bigger than what you can handle. But I'm telling you, as you begin to praise Him today, you're establishing God's kingdom
God's rulership, God's reign, God's authority, God's dominion over and in your circumstances. And you can trust it. You can believe it that it's going to change it. It doesn't matter what the doctor's prognosis was. It doesn't matter. God is greater. He's greater. He's bigger. He's mightier. He's more. More than what you need. Oh, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Let's sing.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
the
victory.
Your glory, all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. Silence your praise. But the Lord says to you today to be encouraged.
Don't put your head down. Lift your head up. Redemption is near. And God's grace and mercy is more than enough. It's more than sufficient for you. He will take you through. He'll bring you into His presence. You will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You'll see His right hand of power revealed in your circumstances. And you'll come rejoicing, declaring that God has kept His word and be faithful. It's not all what it seems to be right now. Hear the word of the Lord. It's not all that it seems to be right now. You trust Him. God's about to break something loose. He's about to do something beyond what you could imagine. So trust Him. Don't despair. But walk in faith and know the peace of God in the midst of the storm. For God will yet bring you to that place of victory in your life. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive that as a word from God this morning for us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Now, folks, this isn't just for church. And we've had two good crowds today. And thank You to you that are watching us. It's not just for what happens here when there's all this energy and all these people. It's what happens in your car. It's what happens when you're laying there in bed at night thinking about all the trouble you've got and how you're going to deal with this. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I've had 37 years of experience about darkness crowding in, and you have to get someplace where you're going to say, God, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's pushing me. I'm going to praise You still. We're going to come through this, because one of these days, the pain's going to be over with. The darkness will forever be gone, and we'll be in the light of His presence forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. That's the power of praise for us today. That's the power of praise. That's the God who loves us. And we can't even begin to fathom how much He loves us and how He cares for us. Oh, but I don't know how to stop them. So I'm just going to do this. They're going to sing that again. You can go. You can stay. I'm going to come down off here. But you just do whatever it is you're supposed to do. And God bless you for being here. Thanks for watching us. We'll see you not tonight, but Wednesday night or Sunday. God bless you. Let's praise Him.